I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of December 5th, 2022. Roll call.
Mayor DePue.
Here.
Councilwoman Gillis.
Here.
Councilwoman Bennington.
Here.
Councilwoman Dalbeau.
Here.
Councilman Powers.
Here.
City Manager Irby.
Here.
City Attorney Wolf.
Here.
City Clerk Zlotnick present.
This time we will do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, we will take a moment of silence. Thank you. Approval of the minutes? None at this time. Okay. Presentations, proclamations. Today, I would like to make a proclamation, whereas the New Smyrna Beach High School girls volleyball team is made up of 16 members and is led by Coach Sanchez. And whereas the team, 52-2 during the 2022 season, winning the five-star conference championship, the District 4 6A championship, the Region 1 6A championship, and the 6A state championship, bringing the first ever indoor volleyball championship to New Smyrna Beach High School. And whereas the New Smyrna Beach High School girls volleyball team was ranked number one in 6A and number three in the state overall, and whereas the New Smyrna Beach High School girls volleyball team won the state championship by being Vera 3-2 on November 13, 2022 at Polk State College in Winter Haven, Florida. Whereas the City Council and staff on the City of Edgewater feel it is important to recognize and accomplish by the youth of the community. Now, therefore, I Diesel DePue, by virtue of authority vested in me as Mayor of the City of Edgewater, do hereby recognize and honor the New Smyrna Beach High School students volleyball team as the 2022 state champions, and encourage all citizens to acknowledge and congratulate each member of the team and coaches on their historical win. Citizen comments. This is a time for the public to come forward with any comments they may have. Citizens' comments related to any agenda matter may be made at this time, at the time the matter is before the council. Please state your name and address, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes or less.
Hey everybody, Chuck Martin, 205 Cherrywood Lane, Edgewater, Florida. Very honored to just to be here tonight in the presence of our new council and our mayor. And I just can't say enough good about the young man. I've known him for a long time. And A young man like him only comes along once in a lifetime. And, you know, I'm an old crane operator, and I train young men to be crane operators. And I noticed that talent, you know, a long time ago and after I first talked to him and decided we would get on the same page and support him wholeheartedly. He's a good man, comes from a good family, especially his grandma. And with that said, I want to congratulate Charlotte. Didn't really know her much, but come to find out that my son had went to school with her. And then, lo and behold, my daughter and my wife just happened to be at the same place as her, at the Bagel Barn, and got to know her and decided that this is the woman, the mother, that's and the wife that's going to be supported by Chuck Martin, because I was proud to do that. And you wholeheartedly deserve it. You're such a good person, and you beat the odds, you know, with a shoestring budget. And but you know, the people of Edgewater, they found out about you and the love and the kindness that you have in your heart, you know, but the sternness and the willfulness to do good for the city of Edgewater. You grew up here since you were born here. Can't get no better than that, you know. And just want to congratulate Debbie Dalbo. I've known her and her family many, many years. There's not enough time in a day to congratulate her and thank her for all the things that she's done for our kids, especially in the drama club and throughout the community. There's just not enough time in a day, Debbie. And it's a breath of fresh air up here. And I know that you guys will carry the torch, you know, for the people that were here before you. And I just want to thank Gigi for keeping Mike straight. Now I'm going to get her to keep you straight. But thank you for letting me be here and share. Thank you.
I'll be here to keep you straight. Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Good evening. I'm Linda Cuthbert, 1810 Red Rock Road. I'm a citizen of Edgewater and a former representative on the Volusia County School Board. And I see you, Mr. Wolf. Congratulations to all of you. A lot of you are New Smyrna Beach graduates, as well as in the room. How many school New Smyrna graduates there are, or parents of them? Let's see. I'm here tonight to ask you to join together with the city of New Smyrna to share the cost financially of supporting a traffic light on 10th Street in front of the high school in order to control traffic at the beginning and the end of each school day. The northern half is controlled by New Smyrna. The southern half is controlled by the county. Just across the street of New Smyrna Beach High School is the city of Edgewater. There have been numerous accidents in this free-for-all entrance caused by the stress of students and parents racing to get to school each morning. I'm sure some of you have experienced that. And leaving in the afternoon, I'm certain our mayor is well fully aware of the chaos that's been created there since the school opened in 06. The county council and the Volusia County Council school and the school board have both already agreed to their one-third share of the total cost of $300,000. We're splitting it $100,000 each. The city of New Smyrna will vote next Tuesday to approve their third. From what I understand, your city manager declined to donate when New Smyrna Beach city manager asked to share one half of their one-third, which would be $50,000 for this light. County manager, Mr. Reckonwald, verbally agreed, and the council voted to pay their $100,000, and so did our school district. And from the half-cent sales tax funds, even though the light will not be located on our property, the city of New Smyrna says that Edgewater students attend the high school, so they too could share some cost of this expense. We all should protect all citizens, young and old, working together to solve the challenges our children face today. And doesn't that mean that this city has no responsibility to its youngsters? Absolutely not. They attend there, or they go to their Edgewater parents who fight the traffic to drop off or pick up their children. I've been able to advocate for $20 million in renovations now at the now-completed New Smyrna Beach Middle School. Edgewater middle schoolers now attend a much more modern and comfortable school. At the great expense, we extended our parent pickup line to get the congestion of cars and buses off of 10th Street, which often overspilled onto US 1, which was Edgewater. Our school district manages its own properties, but sadly, we have to beg our municipalities to help us with traffic control. I've been working for 7 years to get the county to design and install traffic light at New Smyrna. New Smyrna Beach City is supposed to vote next Tuesday, the 13th, on this issue of partially financing the traffic light. If Mayor Cleveland knew that you all could help financially support and sharing a little bit of the cost, whatever it might be, a yes vote would be more attainable. And yes, I will be at that meeting next week. Thank you very much and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, this will close citizens' comments at this time. Council reports. Oh.
Need to bring the water with me, that's for sure. Tracy Schaefer, 2830 Sable Palm Drive. Tracy Schaefer, 2830 Sable Palm Drive, Edgewater, Florida. Code enforcement came by my house. I parked my truck in my driveway. There's nothing wrong with it. Tires are fine. It runs perfect. It only has 135,000 miles on it. Can't afford it with the economy the way it is to register that vehicle and my other vehicle. So I took the plate off of it, turned the plate in. Code enforcement comes by, and they've condemned my car, condemned my pickup truck, will not let me park my truck in my own driveway, saying that I can't have a pickup truck in my driveway, that it's against the law. Came by, put this on a stake in my front yard, took pictures of my house, mailed this to me, threatened me of fines of $500 a day because I can't afford to put a tag on my car. Can you believe this? This is all in a week, all of it in 1 week. What the hell? You know, I own my house. I'm disabled. You want me to do what? I don't know what to do. My yard is immaculate. I got pictures of it. You can see it. Case law after case law says I do not have to have a license plate on my car. Why do I have to have a license plate on the car? There's nothing wrong with it. It runs perfect.
Well, we appreciate what you're telling us, but this is a code enforcement issue.
It's case law. And you're attacking me?
I'm not.
The city of Edgewater is attacking me over.
If you let me finish. This is a code enforcement issue. I suggest you get with the city manager and Jeff Lowry, our code enforcement department head, and see what can be worked out and what we can do about it. To give you that so that you can meet.
My yard is immaculate. Okay. And I don't understand why you even had to slow down and stop when there's a death trap right at the end of my block. I can't even see to turn left. Another death trap at the other end of the block. I can't see to turn left there. I've been almost hit twice by bikes and going down the sidewalk at 30 miles an hour just to turn left. I have to itch forward, drives by all the death hazard, comes to give me a ticket for this. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Sir, we'll be in contact. Thank you.
Hello again. Calvin Baxter, 2003 Pine Tree Drive. I was here last week. I have an abandoned house on Pine Tree Drive with an abandoned car sitting in the yard for 7 years. Code enforcement don't go by there and fine them people. Why are we fining a citizen that's paying taxes? We're not fining somebody who isn't paying taxes.
Okay, well,
it's not fair.
You've made us aware of that.
So okay, they've been aware. Code enforcement said they know that car's been sitting there 7 years.
Okay, well, city manager, will you take care of this problem?
I'm at 2003 Pine Tree. It's about five houses to the north of me on the right-hand side. A red Dodge something that's been sitting there for years. Nobody worries about it. You got a citizen who pays his taxes, and we're bothering him because we know we can get money out of him. The other person is out of state. We can't get money out of that person. So it just doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
We should all be treated exactly the same.
There is a process that we have to go through
right.
In order to do anything with this. And it was as it was explained at the last meeting that you were in,
right.
We have started that process.
Okay, that's been 7 years. This guy, he just parked it last week, and we already got code enforcement on his property. Put yourself in his place. You know, that doesn't seem right. Every car I have on my property has a legal tag. I thought that was the ordinance, that a tag on your property, a car on your property had to have a up-to-date registration.
That's correct.
I don't know. There's two different rules there. This house been empty. Car been there for 7 years.
Again, it's in process.
It's a process.
And it's a long one, too.
Thank you, sir. Council reports at this time. Is there anyone else at this time that would like to make a citizen's comment?
I'm being critical.
Sure. Approval or changes or modifications to the agenda?
There are none.
Great. Council reports. I'd like to just say thank you from the bottom of my heart for this opportunity to represent you. This has been an honor of a lifetime. I've met so many great new people throughout this, and I cannot wait to positively represent your voice on this council. It's been an honor, and I look forward to this throughout my whole life as a public servant. I have attended several things around town, such as a Volusia Manufacturing Award ceremony in Daytona Beach. It was a wonderful ceremony. Edgewater was represented. I have took a tour of Riverside Conservancy, such a beautiful organization. We are truly just blessed to have them in Edgewater, and I look forward to working with them as well. Thank you. Councilwoman Gillis.
I'd also like to take the time to thank everybody, especially everybody that came out tonight to all of this. And sorry, I apologize.
The mic is in here.
Sorry, we're in process. I just wanted to say I appreciate you all very much as well, and thank everybody for coming out tonight and being a part of these meetings. We need more community involvement, and that's what I wanted to do. And I wanted to be involved and get more people involved. As far as my report, I did sign up to do the Citizen Police Academy, and I look forward to doing that. And on Sunday, I went to the Pearl Harbor Remembrance Ceremony. I thought it was very interesting to know that Edgewater is one of the only very few cities in the country that still holds a ceremony for that. And it was a very beautiful ceremony, and thank you to everybody who put that on as well. And that's really all I have. But thank you all for coming out here today. And that's all I have.
Councilwoman Bennington.
Well, all I can say is I'm honored to sit here with the new council and look forward to the next, well, I have 2 more years left, so 2 years. And by then he should have calluses on his shins. It's a known thing that if the mayor acts up or doesn't do something, I give him a little kick. But I've been doing that for every mayor.
Councilwoman Dalbo.
Thank you. I recently was able to tour the Volusia Family Resource Center. It's in on LPGA into International Speedway. Carly Quinn, the director of the juvenile department, gave me a wonderful tour. I'm going to read my notes because there's so much involved in this, and this is something that we as Edgewater can use. We have so many youth who are out. The police pick them up and have nowhere to take them. So they either don't do anything with them because what are they going to do with them? They can't take them to the police station and have them sit there, or their parents never come to get them. Now we have an option, an alternative for our children who need help. We have a lot of kids out there who are just lost. They have no guidance. Maybe they have things going on at home. And this center here is going to be a huge asset to the county, especially to our city of Edgewater. So it's a full-scale juvenile assessment center that provides a high quality of youth service and for their families as well. In addition to the sheriff's office, this facility will be home to resources from Florida Department of Juvenile Justice, Children's Homes Society Florida, Volusia County Schools, and Halifax Health Beneficial Service. The objectives are to reduce juvenile crime, truancy, ungovernable youth, runaways, missing persons, aggression, defiant, or violent behaviors, mental health, and those at risk of entering the juvenile justice system. Parents in need of services to help their children who are going through difficult times. Parents don't know what to do. This gives them an asset, a place to go, when they have so many services there that will help the families. So this is such an important thing, and I'm so excited to have toured it. And the phone number, I'll just put it out there so it'll be recorded so you can find it. It is 386-254-1512. So, and the, it's an open door, so anyone can go take the tour of it. If you're interested in learning more about this facility, I would suggest taking the tour. It was very educational. Thank you.
Councilman Powers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, first I would like to congratulate Councilwoman Gillis and Mayor DePue and Councilwoman Dolbo. I look forward to working with you. It is a challenge running a campaign, so congratulations. It's a long journey to get here. Last week, I attended the Southeast Volusia Manufacturing and Technology Coalition Career Field Fair that they hosted at the high school. So the Southeast Volusia Manufacturing and Technology Coalition obviously works to promote manufacturing and technology in Southeast Volusia, right? It creates jobs. And so what this was doing was opening up those doors for high school students to say, hey, there's an opportunity for you to have a good job, have a good paying job in Southeast Volusia County. So we had really, really good companies from Southeast Volusia at that event. So it was a very, very good event. I would also like to thank staff for the meeting last week regarding the hurricane response. There was a lot of information that's not, there was a lot of work that went into it. It was very informative. And I also want to thank staff and all of the emergency services for their response before, during, and after the storms, if I haven't said so already. But moving forward, we have a new council tonight, and I would like to start a conversation. You know, tonight is just throwing out ideas. Mr. Mayor, we might, you know, something, you know, calling a workshop might be necessary to sort of discuss this moving forward. But we need to start thinking about what needs to be done for resiliency moving forward. You know, at least having that conversation. There's a lot of different things just to sort of list things. There are things we can do in our land development code. We can strengthen our land development code. We have a tree preservation requirement. We can increase that. There's stormwater requirements that we can increase. You know, self-contained stormwater systems, so on and so forth for new subdivisions. So, you know, I would like to look at that. You know, we plan right now for a 100-year floodplain or a 100-year flood event. We obviously had a 500, if not a 1,000-year flood event. So we need to prepare for that. You know, is a moratorium or at least a pause on accepting new applications to evaluate stormwater, is that necessary? I want to investigate those legal complexities. Those are complex legally. So, you know, we need to investigate that. But we have subdivisions that aren't fully built out. Elegant Manor, the townhomes on Air Park, there's Oakleaf Preserve. There's serious floodings behind Oakleaf, right, off of Old Mission. So do we have legal standing to impose a stop work order and increase stormwater requirements before they can continue to build? These are all just ideas spitballing from that meeting. But I think we need to come together, put our heads together in a few months, let staff have time to respond and look at that moving forward. You know, I think what we are looking at now, what we inherited was not approved by this council because we just started tonight, right? It wasn't approved. It wasn't approved by the council that just got off. It was two or three councils ago, if not years and years ago. But we ultimately inherited the problem, and we're here to deal with it now. So I would like to sort of look at what we can do to move forward to stand as strong as possible. So, you know, investigating a workshop and investigate, you know, some of those legal complexities and some of those options moving forward.
Could I comment on that?
Mm-hmm.
Before we do that, I know I had talked to our city manager months ago, but we haven't had this done for a long time. I think before we can go into our codes, we need to have a visioning workshop where we sit down and lay out what we want to see the city look like. So that way we know it has been years since that has been done. We need to have a new one and update it and bring it to fruition before we go in there and start. Your idea is very good. We need to do that. But the visioning put on by professionals will help us realize exactly what we want and how to get what we want here.
Yeah.
And what we need to do to do it.
So anyway, so just putting out ideas, but just putting out there for the conversation. So
that's all. That's what I'm doing too.
Mayor, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the consent agenda. All matters listed under the consent agenda are considered to be routine by the City Council and will be acted upon by one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless discussion is desired by a member of the council, in which case the mayor will remove that item from the consent agenda and such item will be considered separately.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Amazing. Roll call. Roll call.
Councilwoman Dalbeau?
Yes.
Councilman Powers?
Yes.
Mayor Depew?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes.
Councilwoman Bennington?
Yes.
Ordinance number 22-0-28, Land Development Code, LDC, text amendments to Article IX, Application Procedures.
Ordinance number 2022-0-28, an ordinance of the City of Edgewater, Florida, amending Article 9, Application Procedures of Chapter 21, Land Development Code, providing for conflicting provisions, severability, and applicability, providing for an effective date adoption and codification.
Good evening, Council. For the record, Darren Lear, Development Services Director. What you have before you tonight is, as mentioned, second reading of this ordinance. It's to amend Article 9, Application Procedures of the Land Development Code. The proposed amendments pertaining to the article are Section 100.01B, to clarify the definition of hardship related to variance procedures, that is on page 9-16, and Section 100.04, additional verbiage regarding finding of fact for non-administrative variances, page 9-18. Your Planning and Zoning Board recommended approval, and Council approved this at first reading on November 14th.
Thank you. Public hearing? Any comments at this time? Okay. Council comments? Okay. Roll call. Motion?
I make a motion to approve ordinance number 2022-0-28.
I second.
Okay. Roll call.
Councilwoman Dalbeau?
Yes.
Councilman Powers?
Yes.
Mayor Depew?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes.
Councilwoman Bennington?
Yes.
Item B, resolution number 22-R-36, December amended budget for fiscal year 2022-2023.
Resolution 2022-R-36, a resolution of the City Council of Edgewater, Florida, adopting budget adjustments to the 2022-2023 fiscal year budgets and providing an effective date.
Thank you. Comments?
No, but Bridget.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Bridget Vassier, Finance Director with the City of Edgewater. Before you this evening, you have the resolution number 2022-R-36, which is the December amended budget for fiscal year 2022-23. The City Manager and staff have reviewed in detail all of the projects that were previously approved in prior year and that were incomplete by the end of the fiscal year, as well as funds that were encumbered with open purchase orders at the end of fiscal year, September 30th, 2022, prior to commencement of the current fiscal year. The budget is amended at fund level this evening. Exhibit A provides that detail to you. Additional detail schedule was attached to the agenda to assist in providing further clarification on open projects that were at year end incomplete. The actual property liability insurance amounts were received and the budget was adjusted. In addition, there were a few grants that were approved and incorporated into this budget amendment. The building department identified the need for a combination inspector position that has increased building permit revenue that will offset that cost. And finally, the budget for debris hauling and monitoring for Hurricane Ian have been included in the proposed budget amendment before you. So it's staff's recommendation to approve resolution 2022-R-36, herein referred to as the December amended budget for fiscal year 22-23. And I'll be happy to assist with any questions.
Thank you. Any questions?
So just to confirm, we have open POs. We're bringing those forward to complete that out. We're bringing the funding.
Yes. So these were all identified in the prior year budget, but Florida statute, the budget lapses at the end of the fiscal year.
Right.
And so those that were still open or incomplete projects, that's what is before you this evening with those couple of other additional items that I mentioned.
Thank you. And obviously there's some grant funding that was brought forward as well. I think what's interesting, too, is the inspector is paid for by development services, by permitting fees. Basically.
Correct.
It's covered by those fees. So that's
yes.
not a burden on general funds. So, okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you. Citizens' comments at this time. Okay. Motion?
I'll make a motion. We adopt resolution 2022-R36.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Dalbeau?
Yes.
Councilman Powers?
Yes.
Mayor DePue?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes.
Councilwoman Bennington?
Yes.
Okay. Item number 9, board appointments. None at this time. Okay. Item 10, other business. Part-time records clerk. Staff report?
Staff report, yes, sir. The police department is requesting an additional part-time records clerk position at an estimated cost of $19,484.56. During July 2022, the evidence technician resigned. She was a sworn police officer. The department had two civilian records clerks, one cross-trained in the evidence department. She also has a bachelor's degree in criminal justice and applied for and was selected to replace the evidence technician. This has left the department with only one clerk and created operational deficiencies. It is believed that a part-time position will work for the time being, and staff will revisit the topic over the summer for a possible full-time request in next fiscal year's budget. So the recommended motion before you tonight is to approve a budget amendment and create a part-time records clerk position.
Thank you. Council comments?
Is Lisa not working anymore?
This police records, not my records.
Police records. Well,
they're my records too, but not
Oh, she's just
department.
Doing the police one.
Well, so I have a question. So it's not really going to cost us anything additional because the person who was doing this position has moved.
No, it opens up a position.
Okay.
She's moved to another department.
Right.
But it doesn't exist. So that you're actually creating a new part-time position.
Okay.
Okay.
Citizens' comments. Okay. Motion?
I'll make a motion that we, how did you say it?
Clint? Make a motion to approve the budget amendment and create part-time records clerk position.
That's it.
Roll call.
I don't have it written down here.
Roll call.
I'm not doing too good tonight.
Councilwoman Dalbeau?
Yes.
Councilman Powers?
Yes.
Mayor DePue?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes.
Councilwoman Bennington?
Yes.
Okay. Item number B, Burnham Priest requests an approval to remove a 41-inch historical live oak tree from property located in the Elegant Manor Estates subdivision. Staff report.
Yes, the Elegant Manor Estates subdivision located on the west side of Flora Shores is proposed to contain 54 80-foot by 125 single-family lots. A 41-inch historical live oak tree is located within the buildable area of lot number 27, which is shown in your attached arborist report. The applicant has agreed to mitigate with a monetary payment into the city tree fund of $6,597.93.
Thank you. Applicant's comments? Okay.
Is the applicant here, Darren, or no?
I don't think so.
Council comments?
I don't really like that. Well, okay, so for the record, if I was a developer in doing something like this, I would plan around it, but that's why I'm not a developer, I guess. Don't clap yet. Here's why. And this is what, you know, talking about the land development code and changes, whatever, you know, the land development code allows for three ways to take a tree down, right? If the tree is failing, if they mitigate by financial compensation, or if they mitigate by replanting. This applicant is willing to mitigate by compensation. They will put that into the tree fund. That goes into parks and other places in the community. The problem is, in something like this, you know, we're making quasi-judicial decisions, we're making legal decisions, and our local building, our local laws require these three things, right? And so they're following the law, okay? So I don't like it. I think it's a misstep. I think that should have been planned better. But ultimately, they're going to pay $6,500. That'll go to another part of the city somewhere else, and trees will be planted. So those are my comments, so.
Well, I have to agree with you. I don't see how we cannot approve this.
I think it's unfortunately just poor planning. Okay. Motion?
There should be citizens'
comments. Oh, citizens' comments. Please state your
name. She
needs
to come up to the podium.
Mike, please.
And speak to on the microphone.
Ma'am, please wait until you're at the microphone. State your name and address for the record.
Is it going to go into more native trees and the same kinds of trees?
Ma'am, please state your name and address for the record.
Oh, okay. Heidi Embry, Heidi Jacobs, 120 Orange Avenue.
Thank you.
And, okay, now. It'll go back to more trees and not just other projects, for sure. It'll go back to native trees. And is there a reason that they know why he wants it down?
It's in a lot.
And they just want to build a house right there. They can't build it on a different spot. Okay.
Thank you.
Jen Wessler, 2950 Regis Road, Edgewater, Florida. We're setting a tone, and I'm just going to say that now. Are we going to bend over backwards for every developer that throws $6,000 at us? Because last time I looked at our budget, $6,000 didn't do a whole lot. Doesn't even pay for that part-time clerk. So make them work around the trees, because that's 41 inches wide. That's been growing a hot minute. It's been here long before we have. So maybe let's kind of give nature some time to grow and some space to grow, because Mother Nature's pissed. I don't know if y'all just saw what happened to Edgewater, but we got flooded out pretty bad. So something's got to give. We got to let the trees stay. All right, so that is what I'm going to ask of our new council, is to set the bar and show that you guys aren't bending over backwards for developers to make their little plans and their little cookie-cutter houses work. Make sure that Edgewater works for Edgewater citizens first and not people who are trying to buy brand-new construction homes here. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Jennifer Fox, 115 East Turgot Avenue. I'm very familiar with PUDs, especially in southern Florida, and many foresters of city governments require a PUD to make that a common area, not a residential lot, to preserve the tree. Is it too late to go back and have this developer do something like that?
So this is street zoning, correct?
What's a PUD?
It is a PUD?
Yes.
When was that approved? Because I was pretty sure I was told it was straight zoning.
No.
You have that information.
Have we done plot plan yet? Have we approved the preliminary plat? And we do that before, like, a tree survey is done? Is there a tree survey? And that was submitted with plat, or do we see that? Which is sort of a problem. So, okay.
So you're asking us to approve something that we didn't really see, and it was already planned when we approved the preliminary plat. Is that what I'm?
Back
And this was just, that was just staff doing that, okaying that?
They presented they presented a plan that had so many lots on it.
Right.
So that's what was approved.
Okay. So.
And then, so they presented a, maybe you're more into.
So if this is a PUD, though, it's, if it is a PUD, it's an approved PUD, and without them reapplying, we have no legal ground to reopen the PUD. Okay. Aaron, in your opinion of the Land Development Code, if we don't follow one of the three options, does it open up for some sort of legal action?
I think it would. I think that they would have the right to the permit if they do mitigate, either by planting additional trees or paying the money into the tree fund. So I do think they would be entitled to the permit if they make the payment of the $6,597.
So if we don't give them this permission, we're setting ourselves up for a possible lawsuit.
Yes.
Well, our hands are sort of tied.
This is where if we make an update to the Land Development Code and put a clause in there that at council discretion, right, that's something we can look at.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. Can I have one more comment? I think $6,000 or whatever it was is way too little for the price to replace that tree. I mean, we're talking $10,000, $15,000, even $20,000. 40-year-old tree, $6,000. Give me a break.
So, okay, so here's, okay, so here's the thing. I would like to look at strengthening this portion of the Land Development Code at council's discretion. I'd also like to see our legal grounds on how we can increase the cost of that mitigation, meaning it would cost more for the developer at that point. So if we could look at those two options, but at this point.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's all I have. Thank you.
No. Thank you.
I'd like to know who came up with the $6,500 figure. That's ridiculous.
Sir, please state your name and address into the
My name is Jim Fox. I'm her husband. 115 East Torgott Avenue. That figure is outrageous, okay? I mean, that's a giveaway. If you know, just look at Florida Shores. Florida Shores wasn't even a planned community. It's a total disaster with the drainage, the whole bit, okay? This guy here is very willing to continue this sort of planning. All right, you can see it all over town, all right? You know, he was probably in office when we had the marina problem, okay? The solutions have got to start somewhere. They need to start tonight. They need to start with that tree. If you're going to let them keep the tree, let's get some money for it. Otherwise, you'll just tax us, just like you've done. I don't know when it was. You decided everybody has to pay $300, okay, or whatever it is to the fire department. A lot of people here can't afford that.
It was $50.
They can't afford $50 either. You need to, like, get rid of some of these new vehicles we have.
Thank you, sir.
Chuck Martin, 205 Cherrywood Lane, Edgewater. Myself, too, I think it's pretty clear what everybody's trying to say. Save some of these trees, man. I went down Park Avenue today and on the way home, looked like an atom bomb went off on the right-hand side across from Filippo's. Does anybody else see what happened over there? They wiped all those trees out. There's a couple on the edge of the road, but it just keeps happening. And, yeah, so I agree with you, Jonah. And, you know, things need to change. Meanwhile, down at Donna McDavid's place, I went down there and did a survey of those ponds and her dead tree that's over the top of her house and her generator. It's an elm tree. It's diseased. It needs to come down. Now,
sir, this is about the agenda item.
Oh, okay.
Personal tree.
I do apologize.
We will have citizens' comments at the end of this meeting.
Okay. Yeah. And but no, I think I stand with the people on this. The city's been through a lot of lawsuits, and they usually win them. I mean, Aaron's a winner over there, man. So you guys gonna stand up to this, or are you gonna cave because you might get a lawsuit? I think we need to make a stand on it, you know, or at least from here out, like, Jonah said at the council's discretion, because I know everybody up here doesn't like the clear cutting and the bulldozing and all that's going on. It just, they're wiping them out. And so that's it. It definitely needs to change. And I think it needs to change tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes.
I had a question. I wanted clarification on this. Is it our ordinance or is this a state law as far as the tree and going into the fund with the money and whatnot? Because my issue is if they're just paying a fine, no matter how much the fine, that just says to me that anybody with enough money can cut down any tree they want. And I know there's also there's the other option of planting so many trees, and I think I would be less annoyed if they were planting more, but the fact is that they're just wanting to pay us to make it go away instead of replacing it. I know that can go into a fund, but it bothers me that just no matter what the cost is, that they can just pay it to make it go away.
Well, they can mitigate it by planting more trees. That's another way to do it.
No, that was my question. Is that our ordinance,
yes.
Or
yes.
Is that like a statewide
no,
thing?
No, it's
so
a
that's
city.
Something of ours. Is that something where you could change to where they have to plant trees instead of just pay and
but
just?
But many times, and this is going to be one of those instances, there's not enough room to plant as many trees as they'd have to plant. They'd never make it. There's a formula.
Well, if you look at it the way I think the people are looking at it, $6,500. Is a cheap bill to pay for a lot, another buildable lot, you know?
So, yeah, and so that's just where we look at strengthening our process
right. In
our code, right?
Right?
That's why we look at that process.
Right. We should be able to, like you said, we should be able to say, we don't care, this is our code, and we're not going to let you cut down that tree. But in this case, we almost have to, or we're opening ourselves up for a lawsuit by the building. Are you the people willing to pay for a lawsuit to fight whether a tree should stand or not?
I think they are.
Well, okay.
Thank you.
We know.
Debbie Kerr Henry at 231 Hubbell Street. I'm just curious why we're going from trying to approve this to having a lawsuit. Is there anything in between where we can postpone and have a conversation and figure out what the options are before we go to possibly having a lawsuit?
We've already gone through
this. Is there amount of time? Is there a deadline, Darren, from when they apply to when we make a decision or attorney?
We could table this.
No, not that I'm aware of.
There's
deadline.
No legal standing like they have to, we have to make a decision within X amount of days.
No.
Good point.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He's already spoken on
Jim Fox, 115 East Torgott Avenue.
He's already spoken.
Sir,
only speak
we'll have
once.
Citizen, yes, sir. Okay. We'll have citizens' comments at the end of this meeting. Thank you, sir. Okay, at this time, is citizens' comments. Anybody else would like to be heard? That hasn't already spoken on this agenda item once. Okay. This time, we'll have to move forward with the motion.
You can have discussion amongst yourself.
But, Jonah, what do you think we should do?
Oh, I am not the council.
You are one.
I am one. I don't know. I think we need to strengthen our land development code.
Well, absolutely.
In terms of tonight,
yeah.
To be honest with you, I'm willing to gamble.
Not...
Me as well.
Not have it cut down? Okay.
Me as well.
So I make a motion to... Well, no, I don't make a motion, actually.
Why?
It just dies if it does.
It just dies.
Or no, let's
vote. You can
deny
the request.
We need to vote. Yeah, so I make a motion to vote.
To deny
the request.
Okay, so I make a motion to deny the issuance of a tree removal permit for a 41-inch live oak tree on lot number 27, of the Elegant Manor subdivision based on the required payment per section 21-311.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Dalbao?
Yes.
Councilman Powers?
Yes.
Mayor DePue?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes.
Councilwoman Bennington?
Yes.
The tree stays.
For now. Item C, Dennis Pinkman is requesting approval to remove a 41-inch historic live oak tree from property located at 2232 Juniper Drive. Staff report.
Yes, sir, Mayor. The applicant is requesting to remove a 41-inch live oak tree due to the location of the tree being within the buildable area of the proposed new single-family home. The applicant has agreed to mitigate by planting the required 16 replacement trees at 2.5-inch diameter per tree.
Thank you. Applicants' comments. Okay, council comments.
Darren, is this a private homeowner? Okay.
Yes. If there's no other council comments at this time. Okay, we will open it to citizens' comments.
Okay, Heidi Jacobs, do I do all that again? Mm-hmm. 120 yes, ma'am. Orange Avenue. I'm sorry, I missed the first part of what he said. There's a lot that wants to cut down trees and put 2-inch ones back, and it'd be natives. And would they be, they're going to need to be taken care of. Would that be, like, guaranteed that they'll come to size?
The answer to that,
yep. Right. 2 years, 2-year guarantee.
Yeah, those are little guys. It'll be those will take some maintenance.
Yes, sir.
As long as they're native. Ma'am. Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Any other comments at this time?
So I just want to make sure they're building a house on this lot, correct?
Yes.
And I know there's 4 trees they want to remove, but only one is a historical tree. Is that correct?
Is that right there? Yeah.
The other three, other three trees are okay. I saw in the picture the one is dead, laying down. Mm-hmm. They're all healthy, except the 3 of the 4 are healthy. Just one is the issue. If we were to okay the 3 but not the historical one, would that jeopardize him being able or her being
able
to
build? Well,
we're
only voting on the historic one.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, then.
I don't know. I think, are we closing public comments? Do we want to talk?
I had another comment. I guess my issue with that yes. one is if I'm looking
council
at
comment.
The diagram correctly, it looks like they're just, I guess I don't see why the historical tree has to go, because looking at the diagram, how they're planning on building, it looks like that's just going to be, if that's the 50-inch oak, that's, I mean, they would need to take the one of the 40 inches to build the house, but it just says that they're just putting pavers for parking. Is there anything that could be...
So,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
so
know.
That's a good point.
Yes.
So, Darren, number 4 on this diagram, is that the historic oak? Sorry. So, okay, so they could build a single-family residence and meet setbacks and meet minimum square footage requirements and build the house. It would just not let them park an RV on it. So, and again, here's the thing, folks. Don't crucify me. I built a house, right? But I made sure I could build on my lot before.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Okay. Close comments at this time. Motion. Okay.
Dies for lack of motion.
Yes.
Now we go to city officer
report. Okay, item number 11, officer reports. City clerk.
So a few reminders. The Lush League of Cities dinner is Thursday the 8th for those of you that are attending. We have our holiday breakfast on Wednesday. Christmas parade is Saturday the 10th. For those of you that will be on the float, please be here at City Hall in the North parking lot at 9 a.m. I do have your business cards and nameplates ordered for the new mayor and council members, and I will be scheduling it within the next couple of weeks, individual photos and a group photo. I'm going to attempt to get the group photo done just prior to, like, at 5:30 before the next council meeting.
In January.
Okay. But I don't know if I can accomplish that yet, but that's what I'm going to try to do. And I will have either in the next couple of weeks or at the next meeting to give you options for shirts. That's all I have.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you. 11B, City Attorney.
Yeah, just real quickly, there's currently only one pending case against one lawsuit pending against the city. That's the Ingalls versus City of Edgewater case relating to code enforcement action where the plaintiff claims his constitutional rights were violated. I have filed, it's in the pleading stage at this point, I filed a motion to dismiss the second amended complaint filed by the plaintiff, and that is currently set for a hearing on the 21st of this month. So we'll go to that hearing, and I'll report back at the next meeting. And that's all I have.
Great.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you. 11C, City Manager.
Yes, sir. On October 6th, the council passed a resolution of an emergency nature allowing people to pull building permits for storm-related damage to their properties without a permit. We would like to extend that another 60 days, which would end on February 6th, 2023, because there were only 32 permits that have been pulled so far. So yeah. I need to, if you're in favor of that, I need you to vote to do it.
I think it's a good idea. A lot of folks still haven't even went through the process or don't have the money right now to do it. So I think giving the extra 60 days will definitely help relieve some of the burden.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, I think funding is obviously a problem. So we can reevaluate this again in 60 days.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you want a motion and a vote?
Just a motion.
We do need a motion and a vote on
I make this. A motion to extend 60 days for
building permit fees.
Building permit fees.
For hurricane.
Hurricane Ian.
Suspension.
Relief.
I second the motion.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Dobau?
Yes.
Councilman Powers?
Yes.
Mayor DePue?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes.
Councilwoman Bennington?
Yes.
Citizens' comments.
Okay, guys. My name is Jim Fox, 115 East Torgat Avenue. All you guys up there know me, including our illustrious manager over here, who doesn't seem to have any problem at all telling me that I should sue him. Neither does Mr. Powers, okay? Why? Because I live in a residential area zoned R1, and their friend, okay, Mr. Beasley, who owns all Florida Electric Plumbing, bought the house in back of him. You know where it is, okay? And Mr. Beasley has been allowed to use this property, which is zoned R3. I have studied the requirements for R3. And maybe I read them wrong, but they say single family use only. That's what it's for. But they and Jonah Power, very insulting, has let this guy for 2 years use his home directly across from my home, okay, for business purposes. And what your response to me was, sue us, Mr. Fox, okay? At the All Florida Plumbing Industrial Supply, which, by the way, is totally out of code. This guy
Please speak to the council.
Darren, okay, allowed All Florida Plumbing to rebuild their place about 4 years ago, totally out of code. All Florida Plumbing is zoned retail or office only, okay? Every week we have tanker trucks full of chlorine going down our streets. I have pictures. I've showed it to these guys, okay? And you know what they say to me, as well as all sorts of other tractor trailers, okay? I live in a very good address. I'm east of US 1. I paid a lot of money for it, and I pay plenty of taxes. And I also bought an abandoned building, okay, which was a ghetto, and it was being used by drug addicts and everything else. I tore it down. Do I get any credit for urban renewal? No. What they do is they tell me I can't have my lot back. I have an 8/10 of an acre lot, which this guy over here and this guy over here tell me I can't divide, Okay, so please tell me this evening that you're going to get Mr. Beasley off of his lot, okay? And as far as the guy's concerned over there with his problem, with his car, directly across the street, there's another good old boy over there. And for 3 years, he's used our other neighbor's lot to park his car that has no tag on it. He doesn't even own the property, okay? So why don't you guys start enforcing the codes as they're written instead of using your good old boy network? That's all it is, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Jen Wessler, 2950 Regis Road. The people who came before you pissed a lot of people off. But you guys today, like, I have hope for Edgewater right now. That was awesome. Like, Jonah, great job. Diesel, great job. Deb, great job. Charlotte, great job. Gigi, great job. This is awesome. Like, it was great seeing you guys, like, our council finally say, you know what, we'll go to bat against the lawyers. Because everyone's been so, whoa, it's because we might get sued. Like, it sucks. We've been run over by developers. So this is awesome. I love seeing this change of pace. I'm excited. And I'm sorry for all the yelling at you guys are going to get because of the people that came before you. But I am so glad you guys are looking to change things. So great job. Power to you, man.
Thank you, ma'am.
Chuck Mark, 205 Cherrywood Lane, Edgewater. Now that we're on a roll, we have something for Aaron to do. He was bored, but he's a winner. He's a winner. I've known him a long time. He's a winner. And he's a winner for us. And that's good. So I just wanted to speak on behalf of the little subdivision down the street from the Public Works. For Donna McDavid, I went out there and I met with her, and I'm an old Public Works guy. I've been around for a long time and did some probing out in the pond. Now, the pond beside our house has a dead elm disease. It's on city property. That could be a lawsuit if it falls on our house and her generator. I'd be willing to cut it down. I'll go out there, I'll put diesel in. We'll tank to it. Stop that joke. Public Works guy to do it, but I think he can do it.
I remember hurricanes come through, and when Tracy was here, they were pulling trees off the house.
I remember it
very well. And
I need to make that happen with a swipe. Out. I mean, they shouldn't have to come in here and beg. I mean, you guys are
doing great, man. You work for us, you know, work together. And it starts tonight, man. It was a breath of fresh air. But as far as cutting
old dead tree
down, that's not a big deal. And digging that pond out so it can hold water right now, it's just a mosquito pond. That's no good. And
the old one across the street there, it's got about 16 inches of 2 feet of muck in it from all the everything falling in. There's tires and trash. It's really nasty. I'm going to take him too, but now let's continue to work together and listen to the people, you know, and I supported everyone, and I support you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Baxter, 2003 Pine Tree. This is only my second meeting. I've lived here 35 years, but the process, we talk about the trees and stuff like that. What is the process for the development? Do the citizens have any say in that stuff west on 44? We're arguing about a couple of the trees. They
They got how many acres out there? 30 acres? I don't know how many acres it is. It's clear cut. There ain't a tree. They didn't leave a single tree. And they got all the spill and stuff in there. And do the citizens of Edgewater, do we have any vote on all of that development, or do we not?
So you have a voice when the PUD comes before council. There's a public hearing, yes.
Okay.
There's also a public hearing.
Who, so the citizens approve that before it gets?
No, we approve it. Council at the time.
The council approves it?
And we listen to you, so please
really,
contact us.
We can say we don't like it, but we really don't have a voice.
That's why you elect us.
That's why we elect you. We got to make sure we elect the right people, don't we?
Correct.
And how about the Public Works and the zoning? How are those people? Are they appointed? They're not elected, are they?
They're hired.
You appoint them?
No. They're hired.
They're hired?
By the city manager. Okay.
Who hires the city manager? Hires them?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how that works? I'm just curious how the process works.
So we are a council manager form of government.
Right.
We are five members who hire a city manager. City manager is chief executive officer.
Right.
He runs staff.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm just curious how it works. I spent 35 years with Anheuser-Busch, and if we had it, employees always had a say. We had, you know, a problem. We would all sit together, brainstorm, and fix it as a group, not just one person, the city manager. We never have a person like that, unless it's August Bush, one guy. You know, we all elected individual wholesalers. We all kind of solved our own stuff. So we need to make sure the city manager is somebody that we elect you, and you hire a city manager.
Yes,
sir.
So we need our voice heard through you guys.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Thank you, sir.
Kristen Hannick, 3131 Victory Palm Drive. It's my first council meeting. I just had a question about the part-time records clerk, and I was just wondering if there's any vetting that happens and research into like a position like that. So we're creating a not a budget neutral position, we're creating a position and adding a position. So I was just wondering if something goes on beforehand to assess these people's productivity, and can this work be absorbed into the people that are already in the department, and that we're not just adding positions to add cost to the city.
We're not doing that.
I'm sorry?
We're not doing that. It is vetted.
Okay. So from internal department leaders, or because
yes.
I know it came here, and I know these people are not looking at, I work at Advent Health, so I know when we're adding positions, it's like really challenging, and you have to bring forward a lot of justification to just add positions. So just want to make sure that we're being fiscally responsible when we're adding positions like that, and it's really vetted somewhere besides here, because this was such a quick decision to add. I liked the, you know, she added, asked the question if it was budget neutral, essentially, and it's, we're not. We're adding a position, and then we're going to go into next year and add a full-time, request a full-time position. So it's just added cost, and so I'm just wondering how much that's vetted, and that we can be assured that people are really looking into that interdepartment, because it's very easy to ask for a position. We all want to have help, right? So what kind of... How do they look at that? What are they requesting from internally in the department?
I had a long conversation with the police chief, and he will vouch for the fact that I told him in the beginning, no. Need more information. He brought me the information with statistics, and I believe it.
Okay.
But all he wanted full-time. All he got was part-time. Yeah. No benefits.
I appreciate that. Thank
sure.
you.
Thank you. Any other comments at this time?
Heidi Jacobs, 120 Orange Avenue. I got it now. is questions okay too, or just comments?
This is just comments at this time, but I'm sure if you have questions, you can relate it to our city clerk and we'll have the right department get back to you.
Who do I just ask the city department?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I think all I have is questions.
Okay.
Okay, never mind.
Well, thank you. Okay, a motion to adjourn at this time.
Motion to adjourn.
A second.
Thank you.